Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Grand National Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and I'm delighted to be joined this week by Paul Keeley and David Jennings from the Racing Post, and Paddy Power's super shrewd compiler, Frank the Tank Hickey. If you've never joined us for a Racing Postcast, welcome along. What we do is preview the big racing on Saturday. We'll have a look at Sunday as well. We'll bring you all the very best bets. But this being Grand National Day, we will, of course, start with the 5:15 and the Randocks Health Grand National, in which the fantastic Tiger Roll attempts to follow up his great victory last year. He is the shortest price favourite I can ever remember. He's going to get even shorter. Frank, take it away with a nice big show of betting, and hopefully you've got some good news on some extra places for us as well.
Yeah, Tiger Roll is 4-1, Rathfinden 10-1, Annabelle Fly, Vintage Clouds are both 12-1, Lakeview Lad 14-1, Pleasant Company, Rock the Casbah, Jury Duty, Joe Farrell 16-1, Ramses de Taye is 22-1, One for Arthur, Step Back, Up for Review, Walk in the Mill 25-1, Noble Endeavour 28-1, and we're 33's bar.
And how many places?
We are 6 places on the
six
national.
6 places, fantastic, excellent. Okay, we need to start with Tiger Roll. We need to start with Kiehl's jacket. Very snazzy today, Kiehl's. The best turned out award has been well and truly secured. You look very smart indeed.
Pretty much, yeah.
What do we do with Tiger Roll? He's 4-1. We all know he's the likeliest winner. Is it? You're not going to turn around and say he's value. What are you going to do with Tiger Roll?
I'm not going to do anything with him. I'm not going to back him because I can't bet 4-1 in a 40-runner race. But I was at a London Racing Club on Tuesday night, and the panel said, put your hands up if you think Tiger Roll's going to win the National. And it must have been about 80% said yes. It's just, you know, he's a fantastic little horse, isn't he?
Is he that clear, though? If you just do a forensic... We all know his CV's absolutely astonishing, but on a forensic pounds and ounces...
Well, if you believe... You know, he's not the... I think Pair of Brown Eyes came out. He was the actual most well-in horse officially, but I think it is Tiger Roll the joint most well-in horse now. He's £8 well-in, having gone up for Cheltenham now. I mean, you might want to poo-poo the cross-country form, but he beat the two horses who were absolute specialists at that. And he did it in a canter by 22 lengths. He won a 2.5-mile Grade 2 hurdle before that. I mean, can you think of a Grand National winner that would be capable of doing that in the last 40, 50 years? I can't think of any. And I think he probably would have gone very close in the Gold Cup. So, I mean, I think, you know, he's definitely the horse to beat. He's very nimble. I mean, he ducked out of the way of I Just Know, fella Beaches, right in front of him last year, and he just sidestepped him. And, yeah, as long as he gets the run of the race, he's going to be there at the end, isn't he? I'm sure he is.
I mean, people have 16-1 each way bets. There's a 4-1 element of that, isn't there, Kiehl's? So, you know, it's not like backing 4-1 is a bad experience, is it? Put it this way, would you say you wouldn't put anyone off?
Oh, I wouldn't blame anybody for backing him. It's just like that's not the way I bet in big fields. It's as simple as that.
But okay, I mean, we'll find out who you do fancy before we get the lads' view on Tiger Roll. DJ, is he for you in any way, shape or form?
I think with Tiger Roll, you don't need to back him, to be honest with you, because I think we're all going to be absolutely thrilled if he wins, apart from Frank, probably. But he's just one of them public horses that we all love. And the key thing is that he's just a different horse this year. Like, I've spoke to Keith Donoghue constantly about Tiger Roll, and he says, with Tiger Roll, for about 5 years, it was trying to get him to travel. You're kicking him, you're pushing him, you're trying to get him enthusiastic. Now it's flipped, and it's the opposite, and that he's so keen, loving it so much, he's so enthusiastic. That's why he's a different horse this year, and that'll obviously suit around Aintree as well.
DJ, is there a good vibe in the Irish media? Is he making headlines over there? Is everyone up for it?
Yeah, I think I was talking to somebody about this the other day. I think if he does win the Grand National, it will possibly be the biggest story in Irish racing for decades. Like,
great,
because that's how big it is, and it's going to make front pages rather than back pages in the Independent and the Times over here.
And Frank, how much of a kick in the groin financially would it be for Paddy Power if Tiger Roll gets it done?
From an antipost perspective, he's a very heavy loser. It's not so bad since maybe we went non-runner bet there a few weeks ago. Like, obviously last year was a nightmare. Like, when I say we get a shiver down our spine thinking of Tiger Roll, I'm not exaggerating. Like, it was like a funeral home in here when he got held on last year. It was a horrific result for us. we were very much against them on the day, and we got filled in and we paid the price.
Are you too short now at fours?
I really don't think so. I think, like, as in, with what he's done this year, with the way he won at Nav and over hurdles and the way he won the cross country, like, I don't think the rise in weights will stop him. Like, we were even talking about, like, what price is he to complete and then, like, to get round without being hampered, and then what price would you be if you said he'd get a clear run at it? Like, I 4-1 wouldn't be a price I'd back in a Grand National, but I wouldn't be mad to be going 5-1, 6-1 to lay him either. Like, no. I think if we went that sort of a price, I think there's every chance you'd have a very nasty looking field book.
And I think a good way to look at it, Frank, is if you, what 4-1 says, if you ran this race five times, he'd win one. I mean, you'd think that'd be within his capability, wouldn't you?
Well, like, as in, I know he's all out to hang on last year, but I mean, the way he went through the race was just incredible to watch. Like, he went through it very easy, jumped well, did everything very easy, and it's only the last 100 yards he started to tie up. Now, you could argue he's carrying extra weight this year, and maybe that might be enough to stop him, and it might well do. It's very difficult to win a Grand National twice, but off the top of my head, the likes of Hedge Hunter and Comply or Die have come back and given it a right go the second year. So I expect him, like, if he gets a clear run, I expect him to be in the first four anyway.
Okay. Right then, who is the value bet, Kills?
Right, well,
have more than one go.
No. I mean, you know, I've backed loads, but I mean, you know, my initial one a few weeks ago was Rock the Casbah, but I'm a little bit worried about the rain that we've had now. I know it's likely to dry out and it's not going to be very soft, but I've sort of gone off him a little bit now. I still like Step Back. Can't get it out of my head the way he won the Bet365 Gold Cup last year at Sandown. That was only his fourth start over fences. It came just 3 weeks after he'd broken his duck at Fakenham, like, you know. And he literally tore lengths out of the field at every single fence, and he just won by 13 lengths going away. Now, I can't believe that Mark Bradstock's had anything other than this race in his mind ever since, and he's only run twice. The bold jumping was still in evidence. He just hasn't seen out his races, but I'd imagine he'd be absolutely fit as a fiddle and primed for this. Slight worry that, you know, he does edge to his right a little bit at his fences, but I mean, Aintree's a sort of a series of long straights rather than a left-handed track, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's just a, you know, sort of very big wide course. I can't see it being that much of a problem. And if he gets into a rhythm for Nico de Boinville out front, I think he has to go really well. He does stay very, very strongly.
So main tip.
He's the main one now. You know, you have to bear in mind that on the two occasions in the last 10 years that the ground has been soft, the Irish have accounted for five of the first six home both times. So you've got to give them plenty. And obviously Rathvinden, last year's 4 mile winner's got a big chance. I think Annabelle Fly had a hard enough race at Cheltenham this year to put me off at a 12-1. But, you know, and obviously Gordon Elliott's got loads in the race. You know, brilliant piece of sales from Gigginstown, and it's a enter loads in the race and then sell the ones that have gone at the game. For
you were bidding for your old mate, Don Pony,
yeah.
Dropped out at 2,000 guineas.
Exactly, yes. sell them at 10 times the true market price just because they're running in the National. What a brilliant bit of business that is. But I think one of his Dunikos is quite interesting at 33-1 with Paddy's. It's last year he won a Grade 2 on heavy ground over 2 mile 3 furlong, finished very close fourth to Mona Lee in a Grade 1 over 2 mile 5, and he was a bit of a slow starter this year, but he won the Punchestown trial, that's 3 mile 4.5 furlong, and he looked like he relished every yard of it, and he was quite commanding at the death, and I thought, you know, that sort of price for a horse that looks like he's going to relish the trip. He's got Jack Kennedy on it.
It feels like a strong recent, in terms of the recent profile, that ticks a lot of boxes.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I mean, I only really stumbled on him last night. Like, you know, when the rain came, I thought I'd have a proper look at all these Irish horses, another go. And I was looking, obviously, General Principle won the Irish National on every ground last year. But I thought Dunikos, you know, he's 8-year-old, like Tiger Roll. Young horse coming into the race off a career best win over his first run over a proper staying trip.
Okay.
He's got a fair profile.
Right, we'll give you Step Back and Duna because you will have the chance for a glory shot with a 1-2-3 in a minute. DJ, who are your best bets for the Grand National?
The one I backed is Manila Rocco at 40-1, which would be.
Anyway, move on to the one you think will win.
Which will be devastation to Frank because obviously he fancied him at Cheltenham and he ran a remarkable race in Cheltenham in that he didn't jump particularly badly. He actually jumped quite well, I thought, down the back of Cheltenham, and he jumped about seven fences and then he was pulled up, which was obviously a little bit worrying. But he is an incredibly similar profile to Don Pushit, who won the Grand National a couple of years ago, obviously, for John Joe. With Manila Rocco, obviously the ground is a little bit of a concern. I really fancied him for the race last year and he was taken out at the last minute because it was heavy ground. It's going to be a little bit quicker than that this year, I think. And it just strikes me that since he won that 4 miler at Cheltenham and since he was second to Sizing John in the Gold Cup, we all have him down as this has been, hasn't fulfilled his potential, not the horse we thought he was. And then you go back and you see in the last year and a half, he's only had 4 runs and one of those was over hurdles. And I just get the impression since he's had the wind operation that this has constantly been the plan. Apparently his schooling over the national fences has gone absolutely brilliantly. Richie McLernan rides him, who was so unlucky with Sunny Hill Boy in the race a couple of years ago. And if he ran the race last year, I think he was up 162 or 163. He's up 155 this year. I think John Joe has been very, very patient with Manila Rocco. If it hadn't rained as much as it did, I'd be really, really sweeting him. Because it's rained, I'm not quite as sweet. But at 40-1, I think he's the best value in the race.
Who else do you like? You can have one more.
Okay, I'm going to go for one then. Similar theory to Paul is Mombeg Notorious, who won the Thyestes on heavy ground. Again, hasn't had as many runs as you would have thought. Like, his form figures are shocking going into the race. But I did a piece with Eddie O'Leary during the week and he said, I was talking about the colours. I said, which colours will Tiger Roll wear? And he says, oh, we'll give Tiger Roll the first colours. He says, but unlike in Ireland when HRI do it for them, he said, the BHA want us to pick the colours of the caps. And I said to him, I said, have you got a lucky cap? He goes, you wouldn't believe how lucky blue is for us. He says, every horse we seem to put a blue cap on ruled the world when he won the Grand National and other grade ones as well. And it's funny that Mombeg Notorious is in the blue cap. And I just think the way the ground has gone, he was virgin on grade 2, grade 1 class 2 years ago. And I think the rain will suit him. So Mombeg Notorious at 6-6-1. Manila Rocco, if you get 40s, will be my two pokes.
Okay, the lads are peppering some long shots in. Frank, who's your main fancy?
My main fancy, I don't think it comes as a surprise, is Vintage Clouds. I wouldn't be surprised if something beats him, because he has a dose of seconditis. Really, just looking here, he's a 26 career starts and he's had 11 seconds. So he has a bit of an issue with coming second. But his record is pretty decent in the whole. He's finished fourth in the Welsh National, third in the Scottish National, placed in the last two runnings of the Ultima. The wind up seemed to do the trick at Cheltenham. Like, if you go back and watch the race, he's at it quite early down the back while other horses are travelling all around. We think, oh, he's going to fall out the back of the telly here, and he just kept finding, and actually at the end he's staying on again, and you think in another 50 yards he would have caught Beware the Bear. Now, what was interesting is it looked like it was a strong enough pace, but it actually wasn't that strong early in the race, and I think if they had gone really hard he may actually have won the Ultima. Now, the only time he's ever been to Aintree was the start of last season when he absolutely bolted in the handicap chase. That was only off a mark of 132, but he won by 18 lengths. So the track, I think, should hold no worry for him. I'd imagine he's a safe enough jumper in the main. He's fallen twice in his career. Now, that's the limit of where you're going to draw the line, 2 falls maximum. But I think if there's one horse that's barred Tiger Roll that's going to hit the frame with a clear round, this is the one. I was very sweet in the last year. He missed out by one. I think he'll go very close.
Might you consider having a forecast of Tiger Roll to beat you?
No, I won't. I'm just going to get stuck into Vintage Clouds okay. Each way. And I think Dave mightn't want to hear this, but I backed Manila Rocco before the Ultima for the Grand National because I was anticipating a good run at Cheltenham. I still wouldn't give up on him completely. If it was a bit better ground, I'd be very confident that he'd run a decent race. At 40-1, he's one that I think it's worth taking a chance at that sort of price. He has the back class, and if he takes the fences, I wouldn't be surprised to see him run a huge race. And the other one I mentioned is just general principle. He won the Irish National in bad ground. He was third in the national trial there recently. He hasn't had too many goals at beyond 3 miles, and he's unexposed enough over that trip, I think, to consider.
Kills, tell me why, if Tiger Roll's 4-1, Pleasant Company beaten ahead by him last year and with a £3 pull and a more national focused campaign, isn't value at 4x the price?
Well, you certainly can argue that he is, and you know, you can't knock his preparation either. He's got every chance. The thing is, you know, Tiger Roll was winning the race very easily last year and then stopped. Ground, you know, although we had all that rain yesterday, the ground isn't going to be anywhere near as heavy. Whether that suits Pleasant Company more than Tiger Roll, I don't know. But, you know, there's no knocking a horse that ran so well last year. He's got a chance.
Let's do the 1-2-3s. Keels.
I go Step Back, Dunikos, and I can't kick Tiger Roll out of 3.
Okay, DJ.
I'm going to go for a spectacular one as well. Manila Rocco, Mombeg Notorious, and Rock the Casbah. If I get that up, that is retirement.
Oh, I thought you loved working for the Racing Post.
I do, yeah.
You've got to do those. You've got to do those trifectas, Dave.
Yeah, you got in the Gold Cup, didn't you?
Yeah, sneaked one in the Gold Cup. Yeah,
that was some bet, wasn't it? You've allowed to declare it. Yeah?
6 bags of sand for a pound.
Wow,
unbelievable! Great effort. I think yours will pay a bit more than 6 bags, DJ, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Jesus Christ, it'd pay probably 60 bags.
Frank, what's the 1, 2, 3 in the National? Nice, easy one for you.
Saw something spectacular out there and go for Vintage Clouds to beat General Principle in Manila Rocco.
Manila Rocco. Okay, lads, thank you very much. Good stuff.
What
let's take in...
Bruce, what do you fancy? I know you fancied Maldini, but what do you fancy?
I did fancy Maldini. I now think Pleasant Company's got a really good chance. I've got a ridiculous sort of thing where I can't stop looking at the... what's the Jessica Harrington thing?
Magic of Light.
I'm not saying I don't know why, but I kind of just, I've got it down as well. I think when the ground gets soft, I think some of these Irish horses, as Keel says, they just you've got to pay particular attention to them.
Is that going to stay?
It might not.
Chaps, what are you
doing? I feel a little bit worried about her staying all right. But I thought at Newbury earlier on in the year, she was very good. And it'd be a great story because... Jack's brother Paddy has been sick. He rides Magic of Light, and do you know the way the National likes to pen one of these fairy tales? That could be it.
Okay, but anyway, we'll move on to what you lads think because you're the judges. I'm a total guesser. The first race on the card is the 1:45, the Gaskell's Handicap Hurdle, a Grade 3 over 3 miles and half a furlong. It's going to be testing. Frank, what's the latest betting from Paddy Power?
Yes, Sir de Burley is 7-2, Alpotti Son and Poker Player 10-1, Coolanley, Nestor Park are both 11-1, Forza Milan, Flem Cara, Burroughs Park 12-1, Keeper Hill, Nadiac are 14s and we're 16-1 bar.
Sir de Burley got the job done in the Potemps. Will he get the job done here, DJ?
Oh, I have one here, Bruce. I have one at a big price. I can't do Frank Hickey's impression and I'm not as good at it. What do you say again, Frank? What's Frank's famous line?
I have no idea.
Oh, he gives it. Yeah, he gives it a little sort of like, yeah, a little. Yeah, that's exactly Bruce. It. Yeah, yeah.
Kind of a bit squeakier voice of me. Bruce, I have one.
Go on then.
Right down the bottom. Tommy Rapper. You know, I spoke about Forrest Behan the other day, waiting 2 years for him to run in that race.
And then he didn't.
Non-runner. But Tommy Rapper, right, for Dan Skelton and Bridget Andrews, I am convinced that this has been the plan for the year. And if you go through his build-up to the race, it's quite eye-catching. I thought he ran a really lovely race in a Potemps qualifier at Chepstow in February. He was never going to go to Cheltenham. And the key thing with him is the ground. Like, his form in soft and heavy ground is pretty spectacular. He was a little bit of an enigma earlier on in his career. He was held in high regard and he just wasn't getting the job done. I remember him being beaten at 4-11 one day at Toaster and he threw the race away. But he's rated 136 at the moment. And I think he has got at least a half a stone in hand. He might need more, but just he's had a really light campaign. A flat track like Aintree is made for him. He'll be held up. He jumps well. The ground is ideal. The trip is perfect. I just can't wait for 4-2 for Tommy Rapper.
DJ, I love it when you make a case like that. The last one I heard like that was it the E-ball winner you tipped, the Gosden thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was in that similar sort of vein. So I shall definitely be backing Tommy Rapper. Frank, should I back anything else in the race?
Yeah, I was kind of keen on two. The first one's Forza Milan for John Joe Neal. Again, he'll handle the ground no problem. He's lightly raced enough. He's only a 7-year-old. He's only had 8 starts over hurdles, 2 wins, 4 seconds. He went off second favourite, well back, I think second favourite in the 2018 renewal of the Potemps, was pulled up that day. He'd finished second in his 2 runs leading into that. He didn't take to chasing whatsoever, had a wind up then, and came back at Sandown and won really nicely under John Joe Neal Jr. He's only got £5 for that. He's lightly raced enough. I think he might be able to overcome the rise. The ground will be no issue, as I said. It looks like Barry Gerty's booked, which is eye-catching enough. John Joe has an all right record in this race too. I think that will go well at a price, a double-figure price each way. And the other one was a Poker Play for David Pipe, another trainer who has an all right record in the race. This horse cost a fortune from France. Ridge, I think they bought as a 4-year-old, cost 280 grand. Didn't really fulfil its potential early, but the last day at Uttoxeter, it looked really good. Now, prior to that, it finished second in the Pretemps qualifier at Exeter behind Flim Cara. But at Uttoxeter, on heavy ground, it just looked a different horse altogether. It won what I thought was a really competitive handicap, and the next three were the unexposed novices who looked well treated in Bold Plan, AC Milan and Hill 16, and he had them strung out behind and he won as he liked. David Pipe said afterwards that the ground was the key to him. He wanted it bad. He'll get bad ground here. The step up and trip is no problem at all. And again, he's a double figure price. I think it's a fair each way bet.
Who's come up with the best case so far, Kills?
Oh, they were both very good cases, to be fair. But I think I found one as well.
Oh, blimey.
It's just so typical, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nicky Henderson trained horse called Burbank. Now, he was a staying on fourth in the 2017 Ballymore, a staying on seventh in the 2018 Coral Cup. And he's only won twice this year. Didn't take defence his first time. Ran back in the Coral Cup last time at Cheltenham. Moved up menacingly between the third last and the second last, looked to be going well, but then they quickened away from him. He stayed on again late. He was only beating 15 lengths. He was no better than midfield. But he's by Yates. He's been absolutely crying out for a step up to 3 miles. He's owned by Trev, who loves a winner.
Yeah, he does indeed.
Who loves a winner at Aintree. Might well do. I think, you know, I can't wait for him to run over 3 miles. I think he's got a big chance. He's also dropped. He's 4 or 5 pound lower than he was when he was, you know, he was only beating 7 lengths in the Coral Cup last year. So I think he's a big player.
Okay then, right, let's summarise then. So Frank's gone for Poker Player and Forza Milan. Kills has gone for Burbank and DJ, who still wins the most convincing cases, very, very sweet, on Tommy Rapper. All big prices. Let's hope one of them can get our day off and running in the best possible style. The second race on the card, the 225, the Betway Mersey Novices Hurdle. It's a grade one, not the strongest of all time, but a competitive heat. Frank, take it away with a show of betting, and then we'll stick with you for the first tip on the race.
Yeah, Brewing Up a Storm is our favourite at 9-4, Angel's Breath 11-4, One for Rosie 11-2, Chosen Maid 7-1, Umbrigado 10-1, Kate's in Reserve Tank and the Big Biter 12-1, over 25's bar.
Away you go.
Look, it's not a race I'd have a really strong opinion on. Like Angel's Breath, I wasn't keen on him at Cheltenham. I thought, like, the support in the mark was down to some good sections at Kempton, but he didn't convince me, he didn't convince me at Cheltenham either. I couldn't back him, to be honest. Brewing Up a Storm is solid enough, but he had a relatively hard race at Cheltenham as well. And I'm going to take a flyer on one here that I thought shaped a lot better in his finishing position suggested in the Supreme, and that's the Big Bite for Tom George. If you go back and watch, he travels like an absolute dream down past the third last to the second last, and then he just kind of blew up a bit. He hadn't ran since December. Like, he'll handle the ground again, no problem. He was impressed with Haydock and Chepstow, albeit at Haydock he didn't beat much, to be fair. I think the step up and trip might actually help him. A horse is stepping up and trip for the first time to 2 miles four, or to this race, actually have quite a good record. So in a race that doesn't look the strongest potentially, I think he's worth chancing at a double figure price each way.
I backed the Big Bite. I did a big study up, didn't I? Yeah, and thought I ran well. Beat two horses. Okay, but we might get our money back here, according to Frank Kills. Who do you like?
I initially liked Angel's Breath, and I still think he should probably be favoured. I think because he's a little bit keen, and Nicky Henderson got confused over him and thought he was a 2 miler. He isn't a 2 miler. He isn't bred to be a 2 miler. He's won a 3 mile point. He will improve for 2.5 mile. The one I would fear most is one for Rosie. I think she's got a nice turn of foot on her. She ran there. She only just got beat. In fact, it was the one where she was called the winner at Sandown in that EBF final. I think she will run a big race, but Angels, it's still Angel's Breath for me. I think he's now running over the right trip.
Keep the faith, yeah?
Yeah.
DJ, have you ever seen Kills looking as smart as he does now?
I can't see him.
Okay.
So we've got the best I've ever
probably
seen
yes, look. Then.
Saw me at Cheltenham.
If he wears this jacket to punches down, I tell you, you'll need a bodyguard to beat the ladies off him.
I've seen it.
It's not the sports jacket he was wearing for the first few days at Cheltenham.
No, this is a new one. This isn't that tweed thing. This is new. It's
No. I was wearing a golf jacket, wasn't I? Because it was freezing cold and pissing down with rain, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, but this is, honestly, looks the absolute business. DJ, who wins the Betway Mersey Novices Hurdle?
Yeah, as surprised as you were about Keel's attire, I'm more surprised that he's Tipple Angel's Breath, because this is the typical... This is a typical Keel's place lay horse, I thought, because he hasn't done it. Like, he hasn't done anything. If you take away that grade 2 win at Ascot that has worked out terribly, he hasn't really done anything. He's been beaten by Southfield Stone, and I didn't think he ran particularly well at all in the Supreme. So I'm fascinated why Paul fancies it. And maybe it is a step up in trip, but I don't think we've seen enough to warrant him in going off favourite or joint favourite. And I was praying, but I was hoping that Frank would tip Bruin up a storm, because I know he's a fan of the horse. And I just don't see what the horse has done wrong. I think he's got the strongest form. I think the ground is fine. I think they've got stuck between two stools, in that they made the run in at Cheltenham when he would have beaten Birchdale and he fell at the last. And in between then, he was held up in the Challow behind Champ, and he was held up again in the Ballymore. And I thought he did all his racing between the third last and the last in the Ballymore. Whereas I thought Richard didn't really know what to do, whether to go after them at the third last or wait, and he kind of did neither. I think Aintree will suit him. I think they'll ride him more prominently. And I think on what we've seen so far, he's by far the best horse in the race. So I'd be pretty, pretty confident that Bruin Up a Storm will win.
Okay, tips on four more Aintree races coming up in just a mo.
What's my horse's handicap?
The fact that you're backing him.
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. We are whizzing through the Aintree card, and we'll do the 3 o'clock next. The Doombar Maggle Novices Chase, and Us and Them second in the Racing Post Arkle at Cheltenham heads the market. Frank.
Yeah, he's 15-8. We've had Clondalk Castle and Lawler at 4-1, our new at 9-2, Knocknanoo 7-1, and we're 14th bar.
Interesting old heat, this kills. Makes sense of it for us.
It is. It's funny. I did a Cheltenham preview just before just before the festival, and I was telling everyone.
30
Cheltenham. Well, yeah, no, but I was at one where, and Henry de Bombhead was there, and I was at one, and I was saying that Glenn Force is the best jumper you can see, and he pulled me over and said, "What about my horse or newer?" What happened? Glenn Force were unseated and Ornua fell in the Arkle, both of them. Now, Ornua is a really good jumper, and he jumped really, really well in second to Dynamite Dollars. And if it wasn't such a stiff track, he'd have won, because he was still going really, really, really well going towards the last. So I'll give him another chance. There's plenty of pace pressure here, but the pace can hold up sometimes at Aintree, even if they do go for it. I mean, we saw that with the Red One Minute yesterday. So I'll take a chance on All Newer, because he can jump really well.
David, who's your fancy?
Well, this is definitely the worst grade one I have ever seen in my 33 years of being alive. This is horrific. And it's astonishingly bad. Like, it really is. It was one of these races, you know, when you check the entries and you're going through and you're going, okay, I'm waiting for a good horse, waiting for a good horse, waiting for... Okay, there's only 9 of them. Where the hell are the rest of them?
There's still a winner in there somewhere, DJ.
Winner's a winner, mate. They still pay out at exactly the same price. So stop boring us with all that and tell us who the winner will be.
Yeah, and for the reason being that it's such a bad race, I fancy Clondalk Castle, because I think he's probably the only one in the race that's actually improving. I think he stepped up every time. At Cheltenham, if you stopped it in between the third last, or the fourth last and the third last, like, you say to yourself, he could absolutely be a major player. And you would have loved to have known how he would have got on if he had a run in the novice handicap instead. I just think he'll hand the ground. Like, he won a novice hurdle at Kelso on heavy ground, so he should cope with conditions. And the rest of them, like Lawler, just looked like he absolutely hated the game at Cheltenham. Ornua, I think the ground is a little bit of a worry for Ornua. Us and Dem kind of was ridden to place in the Arkle, whereas I thought Clondalk Castle actually went after the pace. So I can see that form being reversed. Knocknanoose just looks like he's a bit of a soft finisher. Then you're into Destre and Cad de Lynn. Like, they shouldn't even be allowed running grade ones.
Frank, are you staying loyal to Layla, or have you unsubscribed?
I'd agree with Dave. This is a pretty bad grade one, to be honest. It could easily just be a handicap, couldn't it? Look, Us and Them just doesn't win enough for me. Like, he ran okay at Cheltenham, but he was never in the heat of the battle, really. He was just staying on past beaten horses who tried in vain to go anywhere with Duc de Geneva. I'm going to give Lauder one last chance. He's won the grade two bumper here 2 years ago. He won the grade one novice hurdle over 2 miles last year. Look, he was very disappointing at Cheltenham. It was a horrible run off the back of a poor enough run at Sandown as well. But were he to put it together, he'll just win this. It's a massive if, but at 4-1 in this field, that's probably, I'd imagine someone might even go 5-1 later. I'd take a chance at that price. It's that bad a race.
You'd kick yourself, would you, Frank, if he won and you didn't back
Well, like, you go down through it. Cade Delane was beaten in the handicap last week. Clondalk Castle went through the Arkle quite well. I think he'd have a better chance and better ground. Destre is not good enough. Nottingham Noose will probably face competition from the lead from Arnua, who could do, and Arnua probably wants better ground. And also then doesn't win enough. Like, it's not a good race. And, like, you know, look, you're clinging on to the fact that he was very good at Cheltenham, first time over fences, and he's won twice at Aintree in his two visits. And if he could replicate any of them, he's a sure thing. But it's a massive if. Like, he's probably 3-1 just to do that, like, you know.
Okay, well, if Lawler was one of the disappointments of day one at Cheltenham, Apple's Jade was another. And in the 3:40 at Aintree on Saturday, the Ryanair Stayers Hurdle, she will attempt to redeem herself in a decent quality event over 3 miles. And she's fav, of course, Frank. What's the latest bet?
She's 11-8. Sam Spinner's 9-2. If the cap fits, 6-1. Roxana, 10-1. West Approach, Holstone and William Henry are all 14-1. Agripart, and you know what I mean, Harrier, 16-1. And we're 20s bar.
DJ, even allowing for the fact that Apple's Jade has shown that Cheltenham is not her favourite track in the past, was that so bad that it makes you want to go against her here, or do you think she'll do her usual come to Aintree and sprout wings?
Yeah, if you look at the Champion Hurdle again, it's astonishing how early she was beaten. Like, I would say I fancied her for the Champion Hurdle, which obviously she ran an embarrassing race. But after jumping one hurdle, as they were coming to the second, coming up to the stands, I think, who was standing beside me? One of the lads was standing beside me.
I can't wait to find out. This is so exciting. Go on.
That's harsh. That's very harsh. I say the Grade One Novice Chase is a bad race and I get ridiculed. Frank Hickey says it's a bad race. Oh, you're a great fella, Frank.
Go on, DJ. On you go with this thrilling tale, mate.
Go on.
And Netflix are going to buy this up and make a mini series out of it. So you were standing next to Justin O'Hanlon, or was it Keels? Go on.
I said, after, like, I'd say 100 yards, I said, Apple's Jade is beaten. And then I think it could have been Justy. And he says, no, what are you on about? She's only after starting. I said, she's beaten. She's actually beaten. That's how early, if you watch the race again, she looks beaten. She's go 4 out of 5 dirty, which I don't know if that's good enough to put such a bad performance away and just say, forget about it. But one thing you have to remember here is this is obviously a big if she didn't run at Cheltenham, just say, for some reason, and she just came straight to Aintree, and she went for this race, and she was run against Sam Spinner, if the cap fits, Roxana, Holstone, like, she would be possibly 4-7. I think they absolutely love her, obviously, in Gordons. I don't think they'd take the chance of running her unless her work was back to the way it was before Cheltenham. And you just have to take the chance, because you know she's by far the best horse in the race, and you're probably getting a little bit of value.
Okay, 11-8, Frank, was that a consensus decision, or did you want to go a little shorter, bigger?
Like, we'll be pricing this afternoon individually and have your discussion probably after lunch. So this is more like an anti-post price revised quickly. I'd imagine it'll probably be one that there won't be too much consensus. I can see why you would want to be shorter, but I could also see why you'd want to be bigger. Like, the worry is that last year she didn't do it a couple of times in the spring, and there's a good chance she'd blow out again. Like, it's not certain that she'll get back to her best. And I think at that sort of price, you would want nearly everything in your favour, and there's just too many risks attached back here.
Let me ask you another question. Not trying to get too many trade secrets out of you, but will there come a moment where certain clients come on and you think, ah, she's fine? Or is it a little bit of a mystery right up till the race actually unfolds?
Oh, no, the customer money in these races wouldn't have too much of an impact, say, from this evening onwards. Like, we'll take a position and we'll try to hold that position as best we can up until the race.
Okay, so what's the bet?
Look, when I looked at the race, like, Apple's Jade concerns about what happened the last day and last year, how she didn't seem to go forward in the spring. Sam Spinner bounced back to form, but you definitely couldn't rely on him. He looked to hate the game at Ascot. If the cap fits, unproven at the trip. Roxana was a 4-winner in the mares and probably needs to step up another £10 anyway, doesn't she? No, she did run a cracker last year. There's nothing I'm overly confident about. I threw a few quid at Agripart at a massive price just because with the rain, and he's guaranteed stare.
Agripart.
But Kills. I wouldn't be confident. It wouldn't be confident.
Kills, can you know what I mean, Harry, run a big race at a big price?
No, I think, yeah, his best days are gone, aren't they? I think. I mean, I'm looking to back one at a big price. You either do take the view that Apple Jade is better than everything and she'll win, or you have a crack at a big price, because I don't think Sam Spinner is that reliable, and I don't think any of them are that good. I mean, you know, Paisley Park came through and slaughtered all of them, and they're all also rans basically, aren't they? You know, so you know, Apple's Jade lost a form at Cheltenham last year. It stayed lost at Punchestown. She's had an even shorter break. I think you've got to take her on. Wouldn't be surprised if she wins, and quite happy to see her win because she's a lovely mare. But I was going to back Lord Napier in the first race tomorrow, and Peter Bowens decided to run him in this race instead, and I found that quite interesting because he was about 16-1 for that. He's 50-1 for this. When he won at Sandown, he looked like a potential graded horse. He absolutely strode away from him, and with every step up in trip, he got better. He'd been third in the Lanzarote to Big Time Dancer at Kempton, and then he went to Utoxeter the next time, dropped back to 2.5 miles, up £11 in the weight, and he ran a shocker. But that just wasn't his form, because he was beaten after a mile. And I, you know, Utoxeter is a strange track, and it was heavy ground. It was really sticky, and I think he hated it. Trainers put cheek pieces on him just to wake him up as well. I find that quite interesting, and I think he can run a big race.
50-1 stunner from Kiehl's, Lord Napier. Excellent. 4:20, the race before the Nash is the Betway Handicap Chase. Over 3 miles and 1 furlong. And Frank, take it away with a show of betting.
Yeah, Mr. Malarkey and Touch Kicker both 11-2. DBC 6-1. Kildasart 7-1. Springtown Lake 8-1. Old Grange Wood, Polydor, Tears of Territory are 10-1. Amelino 14-1 and we're 16s bar.
Is this the race where you give me an, oh, Bruce, a really fancy one here?
No. I do like one, though. I kind of had two on my shortlist. One, I think DBC for Tim Vaughan, I think he's very interesting. He obviously went really close a few years back in the Grey One Sefton Hurdle over 3 miles, and he's beaten half a length by the World's End. He ran really well then, and he had a full year off the track and came back and finished fourth in the 3 mile handicap hurdle. And he's been getting better over fences as well, like, as in, he was beaten first time out by Drinks Interval, and he went up then to Newcastle beat Jamie Masters, and he won easily in Catterick in a weak race. Now, he's on the same mark as when he finished fourth last year behind Mr. Big Shot of 1-4-1. And the fact he could run that big a race off a full year off track in a competitive handicap like that suggests to me he can probably strike off that mark. And I think he's a really solid bet. I think he's a horse that I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up running well in something like a Hennessy next year. I think he's a bit of potential about him. And the other one I'd give a squeak to, like, this probably a bit more left field, but Amelino is one that interests me. He's kind of got his form together the last twice. He won very well at Leopardstown over 2.5, won by 8 lengths over School Lane, and then confirmed the form off £9 higher up in the Ulster National Downpatrick there. He had some potential going back. He was kind of hit and miss over hurdles. But if you go back to May last year, he beat Kaiser Black in Tipperary in a, I think it was a beginner's chase. And that Kaiser Black now ran second to Bagawan, a grade one, and won a grade three at Nace. So there's every chance that he has a fair bit of ability. He won pretty easy up and down Patrick off a mark of 121. He's only 9 higher. He's off 130. And I wouldn't be surprised if he ran a big race at a big price.
Righty-ho, so it's DBC and Amelino for Frank. Who is it for you, Paul?
Yeah, Kildasart. I mean, it was a horse I really fancied at Cheltenham, and I remember DJ ridiculing me, saying nowhere near good enough to beat Defy de Soy, and that's exactly what happened. He wasn't nowhere near good enough, but they went pretty slow in that race, and then it turned into a bit of a sprint, and the speed horses just went away from him. But if you have a look at him from the last, he was really, really staying on again. It just tells you that this horse's future is over 3 mile. He gets it now. Strong run race, and he jumped better at Cheltenham last time than he did when winning on Trials Day. I just think he's now going the right trip, and I've got to row him with him again.
You sound confident, Kills. DJ, are you confident?
Yeah, I was absolutely good at the Tears Our Territory. Didn't get into the Topham. She's rated 130, and I think 132 was the lowest that got in, Kilcrea Vale. But I think with Tears Our Territory, I think she's really well handicapped on a couple of pieces of form. She was third in the Topham last year to Ultra Gold on heavy ground. She might slightly prefer slightly better ground. But even her second, it was only a 2-runner race at Doncaster, but her second to talk is cheap. Like, she got within two lengths of Talk Is Cheap. I thought that was pretty solid form. And every kind of single line of form she has suggests that there's a handicap in her off the low 130. She's at the basement of that now, 130. I think she'll bounce out Sam Whaley Cohen. I think she'll be up there throughout. And I think she's well handicapped enough to win a race like this. So we'll be theatre territory for me.
Okay, after the 420, we've got the National. And don't forget Paddy Power, six places. You can get that at paddypower.com or by downloading the fantastic Racing Post app. If you haven't got that, that is an absolutely essential tool for Grand National Day. The final race at Aintree, 6:20, fully an hour and 5 minutes before the National is due off. It's the Pinsent Masons Handicap Hurdle. It's for conditional jockeys and amateur riders. It's over 2 miles and half a furlong. Frank, how do Paddy Power bet on this one?
Yeah, we're 5-1 Lord Yates, 6-1 West of the Bridge, 8-1 Chief Justice and Locker Room Talk and Shoe Time, 9-1 Watmore, 11-1 Nietzsche and This Time Next Year, and we're 14s bar.
Kills, sometimes you have to be patient in this game to get what you deserve.
Absolutely. And if you remember us sitting here last year, we were sitting in the studio with Rodders. Right? And Rodders, you know how Rodders is like. Sometimes he can make some weird cases, but he sat here and he made a really, really strong case for a horse called Shoe Time, trained by James Nass. And we all looked at it and thought, well, we've got to back this. And I think it was 10-1 overnight, went off 9-2, got to the last under Katie Walsh, about to take it up and win and fell. I'm pretty sure that his entire year has been around coming back here and having another go at the race. And James Nash has put John Joe O'Neill on, claiming 3. I think 8-1. I think he's pretty sure to go a favourite and go very close tomorrow.
The weird thing is that you remember it and I remembered it when you told me. But I bet if you mentioned it to G, he'd be like, when was that?
Well, the great funny thing is the owner of Paisley Park, Andrew Gemmell, Rodders has known him for years.
No, he's never
and he only found out about 4 weeks before the Cheltenham Festival that it was the Andrew Gemmell that owned Paisley Park.
It's a family friend, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Very strange.
So, yeah, very strange. So yeah, I mean, yeah, Rodders probably won't remember it. We'll wind him up about it when we get out of here. But yeah, so I mean...
SCO time or show time?
Shoe time, I just thought.
Let's hope it's show time for that one. Who do you fancy, David?
Call the police. My thunder has been well and truly stolen. I was just praying that you come to me first because I think Keels and Frank, I'd be shocked if Frank doesn't tip this horse as well. Was rated 124 in the race last year and it's £2 lower now. And James Nash, lovely, lovely fella, used to ride for Willie Mullins and Bumpers. And I'd say this has been the plan. And the ground's been slow. That's no problem at all because his last win was on heavy ground as well. He's just a real strong traveller. And it's funny, Katie Walsh rode the horse in the race last year and I wouldn't have been surprised if she had won it and maybe retired afterwards because she retired in Punchestown on a winner. And it could have been maybe, I wonder, maybe this is completely wrong, but it might have been maybe the bow out that Katie might have wanted on Grand National Day. And it was just unfortunate that the horse fell at the last £2 lower now. Ground ideal, touch of class. Like, if it's 8-1 now, I think this could go off about 5-2.
Two votes for Showtime. Is it 3, Frank?
It sure is, yeah.
Come on!
I think.
Told you.
I think, like, if you say how depressed we were after the Grand National, particularly because I backed Pleasant Company, I think 40s or 50-1. Oh. So I was personally gutted as well, like, as well as for the company, obviously. Yeah. But then I was, like, stuck into Shoe Time. I was like, right, this is going to get it back for me. This is going to make me have a winning week. And there he was, came cruising to the last, and I was like, oh, here we go. And then it fell, and I swear to God, it was like someone kicked me in the balls. It was really, really bad.
I swear to God.
It was that bad, like, as in, oh, I was just gutted. And like, when I had a look at the race this morning and I saw that Legal History and Eclair de Beaufou and Golden Spear had come out, I was like, oh my God, this is a terrible renewal. It's worse than last year and I'd agree this is probably going to go off favourite and I'd be getting on there as quick as you can.
Rightio, Showtime, that is the one to bring the curtain down at Aintree, but there's plenty more to get stuck into. We've got racing at Newcastle, Leopardstown. Leopardstown, very significant there. They've got the Ballysacks, which in the last 3 years has thrown up a Derby winner and indeed a Melbourne Cup winner. We've got Lingfield, we've got Chepstow, we've got Wolverhampton Kills. Don't give your nap away, but is there anything else at the ways we should be backing?
I haven't looked. I honestly tell you that I have not looked.
That's what I like.
All
no
into
bluffing
Aintree.
Here. And no bluffing with DJ, but he will have looked. What have you got for us, DJ?
You know me too well, Bruce. I just run you through. No, I don't really fancy him that strongly, but just a couple of pointers for punters. The Ballysack is at 350. Kind of an interesting race. And the market is going to be interesting here because Aidan O'Brien has Broom and Sydney Opera House and Sovereign. And Jim Bulger started the season in such good form. He's got Guaranteed, who's rated 107. I just wouldn't be surprised if the six runners in the race, I wouldn't be surprised if Guaranteed by the end of the season wasn't in the top three of them, but this could be Guaranteed's Derby. So I wouldn't put anybody off back in Guaranteed. And also earlier on in the card, in the 1,000 Guineas trial, Iridesa, the Group 1 winner, she returns to action in that. It's a decent enough race. Aidan O'Brien has got a couple in there as well. You'd have to be a little bit worried about Aidan's form. I think out of his last 18 runners, I think only one of them has been placed. So this time of year, they're just getting runs into them. And in that race, down the bottom, Secret Thoughts, I thought, is a filly that could have a big future this year. That's number 12 in the 245 at Leopardstown.
Frank, anything Frank, for us?
I've had a quick look at those races, and I thought one was interesting in the 1,000 Guineas trial, all right. Iridesa is a very good horse. I'd be worried about the drop to 7 furlongs. I think she wants a mile at least. She'd probably be an Oaks horse where she'd be really at her best. And I'd be willing to give a chance to Operatic Export for Jim Bulger. Obviously, he's had a good start to the season, and this horse won its debut at Leopardstown back in August. Won quite well, beating Firefly. Now, that Firefly is rated only 89 and was all out to win a Tipperary maiden. But Jim Bulger started the season so well, and the Aidan horse are tending to need their run, and Iridesa probably wants a bit further, that this horse might be a good price, and I'd have a few quid each way in him. And same with the Ballysacks. I'd just be worried that Aidan's will all need the run. Guaranteed to be obviously the more solid one, but I'd take a chance on Tankerville. Dermot Weld had an absolute cracking day at Leopardstown for Students Day there. Was it yesterday or the day before yesterday? And this horse only had one run in the Goren Maiden, went off 4-5, won really easily. I wouldn't be surprised if he was able to win that, just simply because he'd be primed for the day while the rest might be looking at bigger targets down the line.
Blimey, DJ, it sounds like Jim Bulger's going to have a good season. Does that mean one of you needs to go down there and see if we can make friends with him again?
Yeah, who would you send?
Tony O'Hare, he's always the main ambassador, isn't he? What about you, DJ? You win him over, can't you? Most charming man I know.
I get on quite well with him, and Colm O'Rourke, who's his right-hand man, was my teacher in school, and we get on very well. So maybe that could be the way forward.
Been too long, Jim. Come on, let's be mates. Right then, let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Grand National Day nap for Paul Keeley.
Grand National Day nap is...
You're right, I seem to take you by surprise.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to have a little study up for something else later on today. But anyway, the Grand National... I'm going to go for Burbank in the open at the 145 because it's a big plus.
No, you took my race.
You can have the same race. Everyone can have the forecast.
And what are you going to go, DJ?
Yeah, I just know people like to do Patent or Trixie or whatever. I was going to go for Tommy Rapper in the 145 at 20-1, but I'll go for Brewing Up a Storm in the, is it the second race instead, 220?
I think you'll find it's doubles they like doing actually, DJ. Frank, who's your nap?
Shoe Time to right the wrongs of last year.
Come on, Shoe Time. Right, let's do Sunday next.
Friends, or maybe more. Earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18+.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Paul Keeley, David Jennings and Frank Hickey. We'll take a little look at Sunday. They're racing at Fairy House and Cork in Ireland, Fosslass in Wales and Plumpton in England. Lads, what have you got for us? We'll start with you, Frank Hickey.
The only thing I really have is in Cork, the 1.5 mile listed race. Who's Def was pretty decent last year for Geraldines. She was 7th in the Irish Guineas. She won a grade 3 at Leopardstown prior to that. And she was second only beaten 3/4 length by Azira at the Curragh on Champions Weekend. Hopefully she'll be ready to go first time out. And if she is, I think she'll be hard to beat. The one worry would be maybe Geraldines isn't absolutely flying like he would be other years. And Hazel Bay and Jaeger for Dermot Welder in there who are useful enough fillies, and he's obviously bombing at the moment, but I think Who's Def is the one to beat.
DJ, what's your Sunday fancies?
There's a cracking card actually at Fairy House, and I think, I can't remember exactly, but I think some of the races from Easter, because it's so close to Punchestown, have been brought back to this Sunday. So we've got a couple of grade twos, which might take the lads by surprise. But in the 255, a horse we spoke about earlier, Eclair de Beaufay runs in that grade two over 2 miles. And when you go back to the county hurdle, you kind of say to yourself, what would have happened if Jack Kennedy actually said to himself, okay, let's just hold on. It's the new course at Cheltenham. It's a long way from the turn in, because that horse kicked four lengths clear in the county hurdle, and coming to the last, he was obviously caught. But I thought it showed a fair amount of ability to go four lengths clear in the county hurdle for a horse so young and so inexperienced. I thought that was a hell of a run. So I fancy Eclair de Beaufait in the 255. In the 330, which is another grade two, it's a 2.5 mile handicap hurdle. Emmett Mullins could have a star in a horse called 010, who was really, really, he's won his last three. He was really impressive last time at Leopardstown at the meeting before Cheltenham. Travelled really well, jumped really well, and just looked a grade one horse in the making. So I thought that was very interesting in the 330. And in the 4 o'clock, champion hurdle winning trainer Gavin Cromwell has got Lady Ishka here for local owners who would love a winner at Fairy House. It's interesting that Barry Geraghty's been booked to ride. Thought it ran well last time, went second, looked to be bouncing back to form. Good bumper horse as well, so has back class. And I thought that would win number four, Lady Ishka, in the 4 o'clock.
I actually have one more, Bruce, if that's okay.
Of course it is.
It's just when I had a look at that race, like, Lady Ishka's really well handicapped, and Bianca Minola is interesting with Rachel Blackmore booked. But Dragon Houdini for Shane Crawley, who I think is an absolutely brilliant trainer. He doesn't have that many horses. Go back and watch this horse win at Nav in the last day. It was really well punted. I think it was like 33s or 40s into 10s. But if you watch the race, he's basically, he knows he's on a good thing. He rides wide to get a sight of his hurdles. He cruises into the straight. He just asks her after the last, and she goes away and wins easily. She's only gone up £9. I'd say she's got a bit more in hand. You might get a price because of Lady Isha, and Bianca Minola might be a bit shorter, and you might get 7 or 8 to 1 this Dragon Houdini. I think she might be able to win again.
Oh, lovely. I must remember that.
But it's well worth watching the race at Nav. And if you go back and watch that, you'll be keen enough. You think she's well up to defying £9.
Okay, good. Right then, Kills, have you sussed anything?
Yeah, I've got a couple. One at Foss Lass and a 340. A horse called Horatio Hornblower. Ran in a...
Why is that ringing bells?
Don't know. We might have backed it. Might have backed it at Sandown a couple of starts ago. But it ran in a veterans chase at Ascot last week. What it was doing there and why it went off as short as 9-2, I do not know, because it needed the ground absolutely bottomless, and it was good. And he was never travelling, and he was pulled up. But he's back out of Foss Lass on Sunday, and the ground is heavy.
It's always heavy there, isn't
probably,
it?
He'll probably be underrated in the market because of how he ran last time. I think he's going to have a massive chance. But does most of his best runs under Sam Twiston Davis as well.
Brendan Duke always says that it's always sunny at Huntingdon, and that's right.
It's always heavy.
Run under leaden skies at Foss Lass.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What's the other one?
3:55 at Plumpton. Cado do Brasil is the likely favourite, is in form, but his form is best mostly on softish ground, and it's a bit quicker there, and I quite like the Wicket Chicken, whose best form is on decent ground, for Neil Mulholland.
Okay. Weekend plans, David, what are you up to?
Football training tonight. I'm actually off Grand National Day, so we're thinking, last year we went to a little place called Carlingford for a little stroll and then had the bite to eat and watch the Grand National, so we might do something like that. And we also have the first round of the club championship as well.
Oh, okay. How many people will you have come on for a national tip?
Oh, and like I say to them all every year, I don't think I've ever backed the winner of the Grand National. And given that I'm tipping Manila Rocco this year, that's unlikely to change. But I basically say in the first line of the text, look, the Grand National is impossible, but, you know, Tommy Rapper in the first, I give them tips in other races.
Okay. Keels, you've got that jacket on for a reason, haven't you, mate?
Right now, yes. Yes, I'm going on the ale now, which will be nice.
Yeah.
Tomorrow...
The show's been recorded at 9:30 in the morning.
Tomorrow, there is a club in recently opened in Epsom called the Comrades Club. It's slap bang in the middle of Epsom. It's £2.50 for a pint, and they've got both racing channels. Could well be my office for the rest of my career.
Wow, this sounds good news. They know the target market when they open these.
They've got plug sockets in the floor, so you go in and put your laptop on there. Yeah,
is it one of the ones we have
worked from there yesterday?
Recommended by someone.
Yeah, it's one of them, but it's only a pony to be a member for a year, like, you know. And then it's £2.50 a pint for the rest of it. It's great.
£2.50, full size snooker table.
No, brand new pool table though. Decent cues. It's all there.
God, that sounds like your...
We had control of the remote as well, so we just...
Shangri-La, unbelievable. The Comrades Club.
The Comrades Club, yeah.
So you're going to be there tomorrow?
I'm soon going to be comrades with a lot of people.
And Sunday?
Sunday, I'm going to be recovering.
You'll think about that when you get to it, yeah? Excellent. And Frank, I bet you'll be grafting away, won't you?
No, I'm actually off the weekend, believe it or not.
Yeah, so that'd be nice.
Jill was asking, did I want to do something Saturday? And I said, well, if watching Racing at Aintree is doing something, then yes, I do.
I bet that went down well, didn't it?
Oh, well, she knows now at this stage. Like, she just goes, is there good racing on this weekend? And if I say yes, she goes, all right, so I'll see you at 5 o'clock or something.
I bet you say yes, even when it's like that great St. Wilfrid.
Ah, yeah, no, the odd weekend. The odd weekend, I can go, oh, I can kind of forgo this, all right. But yeah. The majority of the time, I go,
look. Say that, don't you? You want to do something, and you look at her, what?
Yeah, like Jill.
Yes,
like,
I do.
To the thing is, like, Jill is all about, like, she'd be going to yoga and the gym and out for lunch and whatever. And she's like, you do nothing. And I was like, I like just switching off, watching telly, like, you know, because you'd be on the go all week. Yeah, and it's like, I don't need to talk to anyone. I don't need to do anything. Like, watching a bit of racing or watching a bit of football and not having to talk to anyone, that's pretty decent, if you ask me.
Totally. If I'm sitting on the sofa watching sport and having the odd bet, I bet it's miles more fun than lying on a yoga mat doing the downward dog or whatever it's called, you know?
Oh, you wouldn't want to say that to my missus. She actually teaches yoga as well, Bruce. She's obsessed with it. Yeah, yeah.
I started doing it, actually, and I just realised after about 6 weeks, I thought, God, this is boring.
I'll tell you now, I used to play a lot of hurling when I was a bit younger and less fat, and 1 year we decided we were going to do yoga as part of our training early in the season. Like, so it would be fitness on maybe a Thursday night and a weekend day, and then on a Tuesday night we do yoga to help with injury prevention. The 2 days I went, I fell asleep and started snoring, and I wasn't allowed to go back after that.
So, well, Sunday, if you're off on Sunday, you can do something nice with Jill, can't you?
I might go for lunch or something.
Oh, there maybe you go.
Go for a stroll.
Okay, postcasts next week. Maddie is back to review the Grand National and look ahead to the following weekend. We've got Tom Siegel as part of a panel looking ahead to the 1,000 and 2,000 guineas on Tuesday. Also next week, Steve Palmer for a Masters special postcast. We've got Football Thursday, and then we've got racing next Friday. You're back on next Friday, Frank, aren't you? And so are you, Kills.
Yep.
Are you DJ? You in the team next Friday?
No, haven't heard yet. Haven't got the call up yet.
Okay, well, listen, one thing we do know, if you're available, I've just heard you're in the team. I can't make it. It'll probably be Maddie or someone. But you're very frank. There could be one for next Friday's show that you are going to be very sweet on, isn't there?
Yeah, I was kind of half keen on one for the Lincoln, and I sent a few texts trying to find out if it was going to run, and they were humming and hawing early in the week. So I didn't back it, and it wasn't declared. And I'm pretty sure it's going to Newbury next weekend. And let's just say, if today and tomorrow go well, I will absolutely be unloading on this next week.
Excellent. And Kills, you've also got this horse on your end.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely, yeah.
Tune in next Friday to find out who that is. In the meantime, good luck with your Grand National bets. Let's hope it's a fantastic race. Loads of great postcards next week. Join us for that.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BGambleAware.org.